My guest at this time is Horace Cooper, a former constitutional law professor who is now the co-chairman of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. He joins me now to talk about a story that should have gotten a lot more attention earlier this week, but apparently there was some sort of fiscal dispute in Washington that tended to gather more headlines than this at the Supreme Court across the street, but it's a major affirmative action case before the Supreme Court. It's officially known as Schuette versus the Coalition to Defend Affirmative Action. Schuette refers to Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette, who is defending a state ballot initiative that was passed back in 2006, pretty definitively by Michigan voters, 58-42%, to ban affirmative action as a factor in university admissions, among other things. And Horace, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on the program.
Well, most of the early reviews of the way the oral arguments went on Tuesday is that it's looking pretty good for Mr. Schuette and the state of Michigan and this law being upheld. It appears the more four conservative justices and perhaps Justice Kennedy are aligned with the state's viewpoint on this one. Based on what you witnessed or read about in the arguments on Tuesday, what was your sense on how the justices are reacting to this debate?
Well, one of the big takeaways is that Justice Elena Kagan is recusing herself, and so she will not be participating in this decision. That means that the block of progressives can only number as many as three to strike this down. I think it's highly likely that Justice Kennedy is going to get assigned to write this opinion, and that he will join with the conservative bloc and support Michigan's right to have a common sense policy that simply says government isn't able to use race to decide who's going to go to what schools or decide who's going to get hired with government jobs or handing out of government contracts. This is a very common sense concept, and this is the reason why in that 58% of Michiganders who supported this, there were a significant number of blacks, significant number of Latinos, as well as women, all who could be identified as minorities, but they recognize that this equality principle is one that's important for everybody.
Most states, of course, have affirmative action policies in place. Several have banned it, including Michigan through this constitutional amendment, California, Florida, Arizona, and then others on this list. And the argument from the lawyer representing the affirmative action standpoint here says that since these policies have gone into place, we've seen significant drops in university enrollment in these states where the bans have been put in place. What's your response to that allegation?
Well, I've debated with this organization on a number of occasions, and it doesn't surprise me that they're comfortable making some representations that aren't accurate. It has been a mixed bag, but the truth is this: there are more schools that do have eliminated their race-based admissions programs and have been able to retain significant minority presence than there are schools that have eliminated it and resulted in a drop. It's just simply to say this: if you said it's true that schools have had lower numbers, some have, but more have been able to maintain. It isn't clear to me that the only test for whether or not a racially neutral admissions program can operate is if you guarantee X number of people of a certain race are going to come. That's the exact opposite of a race-neutral program.
We're talking with Horace Cooper, former constitutional law professor, now co-chairman of Project 21. And Horace, you mentioned before that of the 58% of Michigan voters who approved this back in 2006, that there was a pretty broad cross-section among racial demographics who supported that. Explain for those who believe that, well, affirmative action is there to make sure that there is not discrimination against minorities, because obviously there's a history of that a number of years ago. What do you tell them about why you, as a black man and others, don't believe that affirmative action is the best thing for black people or any American?
Okay, so here's one takeaway. In the city of Detroit, 50% of self-identified blacks, 50% more voted for the ban on affirmative action than voted for the Republican candidate for Senate. Very, very revealing that people understand the equality principle, and even if they're partisans, even if they are people who live in certain enclaves and communities, they get this concept. Equality is what's important. For me, as a person who's black, as well as an American, I believe that there's a truth. We are all given certain talents, certain skills. If given the opportunity, we can compete. We have the opportunity to excel. I don't even have to know for a fact that we can see this in the corporate world, that we can see this in the retail world, in the entertainment world, in the athletic world. We can tell just by looking around us that people are able to make choices, and that variety in those choices shouldn't be encumbered in any way by what your race or your gender is in creating those opportunities or limiting those opportunities.
Do you believe, by and large, that there is a level playing field now here in 2013?
I believe, I don't accept this idea of level or not level playing field, but I do believe that racism and bigotry don't inform us and don't explain much of what goes on in the world today. The people who make up this class of bigots are such a small percentage. They aren't able to decide who's going to what colleges. They're not able to decide who's going to be the next vice president of American Express. They're not able to decide who's going to be able to get hired by the bank. The racist mindset and attitude is so minimally and so a little represented in the public square. I think it's a crutch for people to say, the reason I couldn't do X or Y in America today is because of that. Now, when you ask me the specific question about the level playing field, I'll tell you, no two people are identical. No two people are able to bring the exact set of skills in the competition. But there is no reason to believe that black people or women or Asians somehow have this unique set of skills that don't exist in the rest of the society or vice versa. You bring your talent to the table, America is the place where you can apply it.
We're talking with Horace Cooper of Project 21. And Horace, I want to close on a comment that the Project 21 released, and it says this. This is from you. More and more Americans realize that more often than not, it is government which is the modern impediment to a colorblind society. Are you referring specifically to affirmative action there, or do you believe that's becoming a bigger and bigger problem across the board?
Well, in that case, I was referring to affirmative action, but in general, it is government. And with Jim Crow, you couldn't have discrimination without government helping to make it happen. And today, you can't have the same kinds of distortions that prevent opportunity without the big foot of government being in the way. There isn't any argument, no scientific argument, that goes like this. If you have six women in the classroom and two blacks in the classroom and one Native American, it'll be easier to learn math than if you don't. That's just foolish. And if racists were making that kind of claim today, they'd be laughed out of town. When progressives do it, a lot of us are intimidated. The truth of the matter is, government is probably the last place where we still have this kind of mindset that you need to judge people by their skin color rather than their achievements and the content of their character.
And last question, Horace, do you believe that the government is well-intended and just hasn't caught up to the progress that's been made in our society, or is there another agenda at play here?
Well, you know, if you had asked me in 1940, was the government well-intended, I would say it depends on whose ox is getting bored. Helping out what they perceive to be disadvantaged whites at the expense of blacks, they said they were operating with good intentions. When you reverse that, helping out blacks at the expense of whites, they want to say that they're operating with good intentions. The question is, whose ox is getting gored? If I wreck your car, you don't get to come back and get in your car and wreck mine. If I discriminate against you, you don't get to come back and discriminate against me. We don't defeat racism with more racism. We don't defeat bigotry with more bigotry.
We'll leave it there. Horace, thank you very much. We'll be waiting for the verdict from the Supremes.
Thank you, sir.
Horace Cooper is the co-chairman of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. He is a former constitutional law professor. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.